is Zyke, bass player for the band Silverline, and you're listening to the Worldview Warriors podcast.
Hi, Mo. Excuse me, bad guys. I am running out of air. Gotta get pumped.
Welcome to the Worldview Warriors podcast. Challenging and affirming your faith to equip you to impact this generation for Jesus Christ.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
It's a transmitter, a radio for speaking to God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome to this edition of the Worldview Warriors podcast. My name is Jason DeZurich. Glad you guys are tuning in with me today. If you want to find more information about our ministry, go to equippedgeneration.com for the student page there. There's some great videos and blogs and all that good stuff. And also, I just wanted to let you know, I'm on Facebook, Jason DeZurich, DezUrik. I would love to have you come and be a friend with me. And also, Worldview Warriors is on Facebook as well, our fan page. And don't forget, I also have a weekly radio show called Do Not Keep Silent every Sunday night, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and you can find that at wxml.cc, and you can listen to it live Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock every Sunday night. And I'm sitting down with a good friend of mine, Dan Schilling. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me today.
I'm glad you're in. We're really going to get to it again like we normally do. Dan's always a treat to have in because he's just real, and he wants you to be true disciples, and that's really our goal here. Anyway.
Amen.
And so if you want more information on Dan, we'll get to that in a bit. But he's with a ministry right now called Crown Financial Ministries. And he's just one of our great speakers that comes in and does a lot of good stuff. And so if you like what you're hearing, don't be afraid to maybe give us a call and see if he can come in and speak for you, whether it's at your church, school, or whatever. So Dan, we're talking about just being a true disciple.
Yes.
But before we do that, though, you talked about stewardship, and you also talked about ownership.
Yes.
You know what? Can you help us understand that a little bit?
Yeah, we really have to look at the totality of Scripture and really understand some principles that are kingdom principles that are throughout the Scripture. And one of them is understanding God's ownership, that God owns everything. Psalms 24:1 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Deuteronomy mm-hmm. talks about the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it are the Lord's. And so we have to understand there's a premise throughout Scripture, even when the Israelites, I think in the early part of Deuteronomy, like around 8, 9, or 10, he talks about, he says, what's going to happen is you're going to go to the land, you're going to prosper, and you're going to think to yourself, oh, this is mine, it came from me, my hard work, and then I'm going to have to essentially take it from you. And over and over throughout history, we see that pattern happen,
where
people then begin to think ownership of themselves, that I'm mine, I can do what I want to do with my life, it's my stuff, my money, possessions, whatever it is. And so what we're trying to help folks in this process of understanding these key principles, that stewardship really is based, first of all, in ownership, knowing who owns. That's what a steward is one who manages someone else's stuff. And if we look at what Corinthians talks about to us, that we've been bought with a price, that our life is not our own, then as a steward or a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to recognize that my life is not mine. It's not my time, talent, treasures. We do a teaching on the 7 T's. We won't obviously catch that here today. But that process of understanding that stewardship is not about money. Stewardship is about life. And I've been entrusted with life, and now what am I going to do with it, because it's not mine? I've been bought with a price. I've been paid a high price with the blood of Christ, and now I'm Him. I'm His servant. What do you want me to do, Lord, with this life you've entrusted to me?
Right, right. And you know, some people say that means we're like slaves, but the word really is more of we're a servant. We've decided to follow Him.
Absolutely. And not just a servant that's begrudgingly. It's like a bondservant, one who serves out of love. They would mark themselves in the Scripture, that they would mark and say, okay, and that sign would be a recognition of I've stayed with my master because there's a love relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm free. I'm free to go, but I stay because I love Him.
And they did something to your ear.
That's right. There was like an earring or a marking in the ear that showed that symbol. So when someone saw you, they knew you were a slave, but they said, wow, that slave's, there's a love relationship with their master. He's stayed because of love.
Is it called a bondservant?
Yes,
that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and so with that bondservant, though, that what that means is that slave was set free,
mm-hmm.
and that slave said, you know what? I want to be under my master. It's better under my master than to leave.
Yes.
And I mean,
it was by choice.
They
did not make them stay. They stayed because of choice. And that's really what God's calling us to. It's a choice to stay, to serve under His lordship. We can go do what we want. That is a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's saying, if you'd stay with me, you're going to find it's a lot better off for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus gives us kind of a hard teaching, though, you know, in Luke 14. And, you know, he's just talking about, you know, refusing, you know, basically to follow your mother and father, or, you know, leave them behind. What's he talking about there, and where's that at?
Yeah, absolutely. Luke 14, starting in verse 26, is where he says to us that you got to be willing. There's some criteria throughout the process of Luke 14 that are some criteria of being a disciple. And we can look back at the Matthew 28 of the Great Commission, where he says to us, you know, go make disciples. Well, so if we're going to go make disciples, we first should be a disciple. And then if we're going to go make disciples, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So we need to help them understand what God's word has to say. And it's not just me telling you what to do. It's me saying, hey, I need the Holy Spirit to help me comfort, counsel, and lead me into all truth, and so will you. So let's walk together, encouraging one another. So discipleship is a process of not just me, you know, like you, the smart guy, me, the dumb.
Right.
We're both dumb. We both need help, because our hearts, the scripture says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? And so we know that we need him every day to lead us and counsel us. So this process of what he tells us then in Luke 14, it says, one, the first give up. If you're going to be a disciple, the first thing I give up, it says, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So what he's trying to help us understand is that you cannot put the ways of others, their opinions, their thoughts, their desires for your life above his. So if your dad says, hey, I want you to be a preacher, and that's a great thing,
sure,
but God's calling you to be a doctor, because maybe you're going to go overseas and do some mission work there or something. I don't know what that might be. So it could go both ways. It could
sure
be God's calling you to be a preacher, and your dad wants you to be a doctor. It could really go either way.
Yeah.
But we got to do what God's speaking to us, and that's what he's saying. If you're going to be a disciple, you got to be willing to do what I'm asking you to do, not what everybody else's opinion or thoughts for you should be in your life.
Right. And so how do you, I mean, I just want to ask a question here. How do you honor your father and mother and still obey them? How do we do that?
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of a fine line.
Absolutely. And there is a time and a season, obviously, while we're under their authority as a child, that we need to obey our parents. But I believe honoring and obeying are different things.
Okay.
Honoring is really saying, as you get older, I respect what you say. I love you and I care for you, but I have to obey God first. As a child, if my kids came to me and said, no, I'm not doing that, I'm not taking out the trash because God wants me to sit here and play video games, I'd have to say, you know what, I don't think so. You know, I mean,
right.
So when you get to be on your own, when you're accountable for your own action decisions, then you'll make that decision in for your life. But right now, I have been given that as a parent for you to guide and direct you and to obey.
Good,
and so
good.
What we want to help folks understand here is this isn't calling us to dishonor ever, but we have to say, I love you, I care for you, but I'm going to do what God wants for me first. The next step is in verse 27 of Luke 14. He says, you cannot be my disciple if you not carry your own cross and follow me. So he's wanting us to understand that this is not lugging around a big piece of wood every day and saying, oh man, I can't carry this tree. He's not asking us to do that. It's not a burden. What he's saying to us is the same thing that he's modeled to us in the garden when he was there in his time of prayer. He said, Father, if there be any other way that this cup could pass from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. He was asking for plan B. He knew what was to come. He knew he was going to be beaten to beyond recognition. He knew what he was about to face, to die on a cross, the death that he was face. Not only that, but the mocking and the spitting and all the humiliation for something that he didn't do. And he said, God, if there's plan B, I'd like to ask for it. But yet, plan B is not more important than what you want. And so let your will be done. And so that's what he's saying to us. If we want to be a disciple, we have to not have the Burger King motto of life.
Have it your way.
Have it your way. See, it cannot be that way. The kingdom does not operate on, hey, you just do it your way. It's saying, Father, that's what he's saying. If you don't carry your cross, if you're not willing to put your way up on the cross, so to say, if I say, I don't have to have it my way. I'll do it your way today. And that may be things like, hey, I need to go ask that person to forgive me, even if I don't want to. I mean, I need to go confess to this person that I stole something from them or something. I don't want to do that. I don't want to mm-hmm. be nice to that person today at school. I don't want whatever it might be, but I need to do what God's asking for me to do because it's what he's asking me to do. And it's for always, he says, he works all things for the good. So he's always right. trying to help us grow and learn.
Absolutely. And let's go to the third one.
Yeah, the last give up, you can, there's obviously some scriptures here between the 27 down to 33 where I want to take you. And those are really essentially saying, in a nutshell, you got to count the cost. I mean, if you're going to do this thing, if you really say, I want to be a disciple, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and let me tell you, there are extreme benefits to that. And so, but he's saying there is also a cost.
Right.
And so don't start this gig until you understand what, and what is the cost? The cost is you got to give up doing it your way. Your life is no longer yours. You're now a servant of the King. You're committing yourself saying, okay, I'll do it his way, even though it might be days of uncomfortableness, might be things, but I know he's doing it for my good. And then verse 33, as he says, no one can be my disciple without giving up everything. And some versions actually say without giving up all their possessions and their stuff. And so you got to make sure that your stuff and the things of life are not the thing that's your greatest pursuits. If we look at even Luke 8, when he talks about the parable of the seed and the sower, he correlates those seeds to one falling on a path where the devil comes and takes it. The other one falls in the rocky soil where it springs up and dies. The third soil, he says, it falls in that where the thistles, the thorns, the things of life grow up. And good soil, those things grow very well. But also, good seed can grow, but he says what chokes it out there, and Jesus goes on to teach that was talking about the riches and the cares and the pleasures of this world. The thorns, the thistles, those things choke out the good seed. And so in our lives, many times we're going to find out that the things of this life are going to choke out. Meaning, why don't I want to go into ministry? Well, I'm not going to get... Boy, I wouldn't get paid anything if I go into ministry. Or why don't I want to do this, a teacher in a school? Because, well, I wouldn't make, or whatever decisions I'll be making, I'll make them purely based on a financial decision, not based on what does God really want.
Right.
And so God's not asking us always to make sense of everything. A lot of times he's just asking us to obey. And so that choking out of that seed, I think, is what happens. And so as we look back at then Luke 14, if we really want to be a disciple, we have to be saying, okay, God, everything's yours. I'm not my own.
Right, absolutely. You know, too, you know, you were talking about as far as, good grief, where did I see that? As far as, I'm on the wrong page, I think, here. Because my question was about discipleship, the 33. Okay, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Now, the rich young ruler.
Yes.
He was very much, Jesus told him, okay, you got to sell everything. So does that mean we got to sell everything? Is that what that means?
Well, the mistake is, you know, if you look at that in Matthew 19 about the rich young ruler, he's trying to figure out what he has to do to make it to heaven. It's kind of like the course of least resistance. What do I got to do to get in? And what Jesus was saying to him is, earlier we talked about this, that the difference for many folks, let's go back to that Luke 14:33, because the word there says, no one can be my disciple unless they give where? The word, I'm sure in every one of your versions, if you're looking it up right now, the word is up.
Yeah, it says up.
And I asked the question, is there a difference between giving up something versus giving away something? And if you think about that, giving up is essentially relinquishing ownership. Giving away means I have to hand it over to you.
Okay.
The other way is I'm just saying I'm willing. And that's what God's asking. He's asking us to be willing. He's not saying you have to give everything away. He says you just have to be willing that as a steward, whenever I tell you to take this or do this, you'll do it because you understand I'm the owner of it.
Yeah.
Meaning if this was your cup and you asked me to go take it and deliver it to somebody and I said, well, no, I'm not doing that because I think it's mine. You'd say, well, no, Dan, you don't understand. I let you borrow it, but it really is my cup. And I want you to take it and give this person this cold drink of water or whatever it might be. But the problem with many of us is we become possessive and we think, oh, it's mine, and I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And so back to the rich young ruler, his problem was not that he was rich, and he was a good guy. I mean, yeah. He had been going down through the commands. He had been doing these things, but the problem that Jesus knew his heart was he was more in love with his stuff. He was more in love with the provision than he was with the provider who had entrusted to. And he didn't understand, back to our earlier concept of ownership, he didn't understand everything that he had really wasn't his.
Right.
He assumed that he was the owner and he wasn't willing to part with what he thought was his stuff.
Right.
But the truth of God's word in the scripture is, guess what? It's not yours. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't willing to do what the owner, Jesus Christ, God himself, was telling him what to do with his stuff.
Right.
But he said, no, can't do it, because he had fallen in love with the stuff instead of the one who provided the stuff.
You know, Dan, as we wrap up this podcast here, would you be willing to come back next week and
Absolutely.
Wrap this up a little bit?
Absolutely, love to.
Because I think we need to give, we've given some really good concepts here, not just concepts, but God's word. And how do we apply this to our lives truly?
Absolutely.
I mean, are you willing to come back and talk
Absolutely.
More about
love
that?
Absolutely, love to be
here. Awesome. Everybody, again, I've been sitting in with Dan Schilling. He's with Crown Financial Ministries. Dan, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can get in touch with our office. That number is 740-396-8463. Or they can catch me by email, and that's dschilling, dschilling, at crown.org.
And everybody, again, Dan is a speaker. He speaks with us too. And so if you're wanting him to come in, do something with your church or school or anything for that matter, just give us a call, 419-310. And then our brand new number, I'm going to give that to you. Sorry, everybody, 419-310-6249. It's a brand new number. Would love to have you call the office and book that. We'd love to come in and just do some ministry. And Dan is just fired up. And I do want to say this before we leave. Dan was recently able to speak down in Bell Fountain, Ohio, and actually the pastor there is retiring this fall, so he's been doing it for a while. And this pastor down there, and I've heard this through his youth pastor who was there, actually said this to Dan, and I don't even know if Dan has heard this, but he said, "That is the best teaching on finances I've ever heard." Now, that is saying something from a guy who's probably been doing ministry, I think he's been doing about 30 years. Now, that is definitely saying something, and I definitely want you to know Dan Schilling knows what he's talking about. He is a man of God who wants to just hear God's voice, obey, and tell you the truth. And so know that that is his heart. He's just a great friend of mine as well. And everybody, I thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. Find me on Facebook, Jason Dezurik, DezUrik, and also find us at worldviewwarriors.org. Catch you later, guys. Have a great one.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.